football on off the ball.
Not that Forrest did that, by the way. They were quite assertive, Forrest. But it behooves you to be able to play with the ball in a slightly different way than you have to do as a Brentford manager. And we don't know if that's something Thomas Frank can do. The early signs are not positive.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on off the ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today.
18 plus gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
You are welcome back now then. We thought it was time to check in on matters cross-channel in the WSL and check in as well with Emma Byrne. Emma, how are you keeping?
I'm good. Very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm all good. It's been a while since I've been chatting to you on the show anyway. How is life? I know you're head coach with Lewes FC at the moment. Being the main person in the dressing room, how's that been for you over the past couple of months?
Yeah, it's been a journey. Right. I've been really, really busy, as you can imagine. But yeah, it's been great. It's, you know, it's a huge learning experience for me, and I've really enjoyed it, and surrounded by really good people. So I'm in the right place.
Yeah. What persuaded you to do this?
Well, I was just completing my A license, so I needed time on the grass. I'd been in with Southampton, and that was fine when I was living in Brighton. But then we've moved since. We're supposed to be moving to South London, so it kind of suited around Lewes. I knew a couple of the people at Lewes, and I knew they were looking for a coach, but they approached me asking if I'd come in and help. I explained that I have a very busy schedule and a busy life, so I didn't think I could do it. And they said that they would work around it. So I agreed to do it. We've since moved, though, to Bristol, so it is a bit difficult.
that's quite the commute, because it is quite close to Brighton, right? Or at least very south of London.
Yeah, it's very close to Brighton. So at the time when I started talking to them initially, it was a great idea. And then a lot changed in, you know, since then, and when I was talking to them, and then when I agreed, it changed again. So yeah, my life is constantly evolving and moving, but it works. You know, it's not easy. I have to drive up there and bought a camper van. I know that sounds crazy, but it actually works out really well, because I'll drive up on the Wednesday, stay Wednesday night, and then come back late Thursday night after training. And I've always wanted a camper van, so it was my way of getting it.
That's an unbelievably resourceful idea. When you first start talking to them and they agree to the idea of you working, or them working around whatever you've got going on in your life, maybe not being able to commit 100%, I don't know, maybe what's going on with the Republic of Ireland as well, does that change then when you start working with them? Do you start to realise, actually, I am going to be able to figure things out to the point where I am totally invested into this thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't do anything halfway, and even when I try and convince myself, sure, I can fit it in, I'll do it, I'll find time to do it, I always become 100% invested. So probably near killing myself, to be quite honest, at this stage, but I'm totally committed to it. They don't train every day, so they're part-time. I've also got other coaches in there that take like IDPs, the individual sessions and stuff like that. So it does work. You know, the club has made it work because of the great people that are there that are willing to help. Sorry, that's my dog Lolita crying to get out. it just works. You know, everybody just works really hard at the club, and we've found a way. And sometimes it's, yeah, a little bit more difficult than others, because I'm still doing a lot of comms for Disney and stuff like that. So there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of plates spinning, but it just means more work, extra work and longer hours.
You're obviously still trying to figure out who you are as a head coach, Emma, or have you figured it out at this stage?
No, it's an ongoing experience, and it's not easy. And I don't think it's an easy transition going from, I know I'm retired now a few years, but in terms of like going into coaching, even, you know, goalkeeping coaching, assisting at Southampton, it's very, very different than being a head coach. There's a lot to it. Plus, we're quite short-staffed as well. So I would have to do a lot of the analysis as well. And there's a lot of preparation before training. So it's not a case of just turning up for training and then for games. It's you know, you're preparing for it all week. There's a lot of hours watching games and oppositions and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's, you know, I know the culture I want to grow in the club. I know what type of players I want in the club mentally and playing wise, level wise, but it is a learning journey for sure.
What is the culture change piece? How big is the level of work that you need to undertake over the future to actually have the culture at the club that you want?
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to happen short term. It's I'm also trying to find the balance of, I'm very, very competitive, very much wanting to win, and then the balance of sometimes it's, you know, just trying to build a team, build confidence, working with players that are, you know, you're trying to help improve them. So it's not a quick fix, but I definitely want a team that want to work together, fight for each other, extremely competitive and always bring 100% and always, you know, live like a professional footballer, even though they might not have the means to do it. It's not always about that. It's just about being prepared and just, you know, ready to play for each other.
In terms of the club then, it's a club that's waving the flag for an equal FA Cup, 100% fan-owned, and have said that they're the world's first gender-equal club. What's that like actually operating? And is that something that's noticeable on a day-to-day basis in terms of how the club operates and the philosophy of the club?
Yeah, I do think it is notable, because there's always this imposter syndrome when you're at, you know, a club that belongs to the men, basically, and you're borrowing off, you know, the men's side, whether it's pitches, whether it's changing rooms, whatever it is. Yeah, at big clubs, sometimes you don't always feel like it's home, but at Lewis is probably one of the first times I felt that, you know, we are equal in terms of, I'm not talking about money and stuff like that, I'm talking about belonging, respect, you know, just, it's not a case of, oh, the men are training, we can, or the men are using it, we can, we also have a priority. So that's really nice. And, you know, I've even forgotten about that at this stage. I don't even think about it. I just think, no, we want to train this day and we're going to train that day and we can change things about. And I'm not saying we have priority, but we're definitely on an even keel, which is a really nice feeling.
Yeah, for sure. Is that the case with a lot of WSL clubs at the moment still, Emma, where there is a feeling where you're trying to navigate the priority of the men's side, or have all the WSL clubs at this stage moved beyond that point?
I think it's still there. You know, the top clubs will definitely be a little bit closer to it, but I do think the men get priority in a lot of these clubs, and that's how it is. Unless you're like a London City who were built for the women's team, and I still think there's a long way to go in terms of feeling that equality. Again, not talking about money, but just a belonging. So, yeah, I do think it's still there. But, you know, it is getting a lot better. If you look at Everton now, they have their own stadium, and these little things like will help clubs and help the women at the club feel that.
How did this opportunity actually specifically come up? Because I see Evie Casagrande is involved with the club. Was it that connection that piqued your interest in a club like Lewis?
Oh yeah, Evie was definitely a big factor. Working with Evie at Ireland, I realised what a professional she is and the level she's at. Like, she's absolutely world class. So I knew she had always been involved with Lewis, which always piqued my interest a little bit. And she texted me and asked me if I would think about it. And then I was like, I'd think about it for sure. And then a couple of days later, the COO rang me. So it was, I would definitely say Evie had a big hand in it.
Was that an automatic yes then? Or was the COO conversation one that you had to extend over a period of time?
We talked for a couple of months because it was literally just because I wasn't sure if I was able to do it time-wise and I had other commitments. And like I said, if I'm committed to something, I don't like to cut corners. So I explained my situation with the Irish team and it's, you know, there's a lot involved in that and there's a lot of time involved in that. So it doesn't leave a lot of time for anything else. So they were, you know, I gave them the honest truth about the realisms of my time and they were happy enough with it and they said they could work with it.
In terms of the Republic of Ireland then, the final couple of fixtures at the end of the year, even though it was back in October at this stage, was obviously the doubleheader against Belgium. It's a really positive note at the end of the year. Does that then frame how 2025 sits in your own mind, that it was a good year for this team, given that 5-4 win in aggregate?
Yeah, I think as well it's how the game went more so. Well, the result obviously is massive, but it's just how the game went. And, you know, the girls were excellent in Dublin. I thought they played absolutely brilliant. And then away, we knew it was always going to be tough. And Belgium are a good team, you know, in the Euros, they did really well. I was really impressed with them. So I knew they were going to be out for revenge. I knew that it was going to be difficult and I knew they were going to be better than what they were in Dublin. So, yeah, I was a little bit apprehensive going into the game. The girls weren't. They felt really good going into it. And I think it's just the fact that they had to come back and they had to fight and they did that by playing football. Whereas, you know, before we might get into a bit of a panic and we might lose that side of it playing through the thirds, but they still played the football. They still, you know, they scored in a great way and they started to gain control back, which I think just typified just where they're at the minute and how they're pushing on and how they're improving. And it's just, it's a great feeling. And they, you know, they felt good after it. And that really helped going into this new league. So, you know, we won't be afraid of anyone and we can see, you know, we defend well and we can also play well.
Yeah, it kind of feels that the team has rediscovered momentum. And maybe it's only at times like these that we can properly appreciate just how difficult maybe some times of turbulence would be. Like, obviously, when you go from one manager to another, it's going to be a period of change. When there's a massive change in the guard with regards to the playing personnel this year, that's obviously going to come with a certain level of turbulence this year as well. So in hindsight, now that brilliant win against Belgium is secured, do you look back on that time and think to yourself, geez, we did really well to navigate that period. Yes, it was difficult, but we are going to be improved and it's going to stand to us so much as a result of those things happening.
Yeah, they're a really resilient group. You know, it happens all the time in football, whether it's club football, international football, they're used to that. They're playing at a higher level now. Most of them are playing at a higher level than what we've ever had. So they're very accustomed to those pressures outside of football and to be able to adapt. And, you know, they do handle things very well. They're a very together group. So I feel like it would take a lot to you know, affect them on the pitch. And that's just grown and grown and you can see it within the group.
On the Women's Super League then, Emma, before I let you go, in terms of the top narratives here from the season, I might just start with Chelsea and their unbeaten run ending last weekend. So it was 585 days, 34 Women's Super League games and they finally lost to Everton last Sunday week. Courtney Brosnan, the Chelsea Slayer, really, is what we're going to have to call her at this stage.
Yeah, she was brilliant. And, you know, Everton really missed her. It's just great to see her back, and we're so happy to have her back. But those are the games that Courtney thrives in, and I'm so happy for her because I still feel like Courtney's still proven herself in the game, which is crazy because she's shown time and time again that she's one of the best goalkeepers in the world. So I think when you pull off a result like that and you are the main reason for that, I think that's a huge help to build that reputation. And, you know, everyone's talking about Courtney now, which is fantastic. But, you know, regards to Chelsea, when you read off the results and stuff like that, it still surprises me because I can't actually, you know, Chelsea are a great team. They know how to win. They're just absolute machines. But I still don't think we've seen the best of Chelsea. I still think they can play better. And I still think, you know, Arsenal, Man City, their slip-ups have caused Chelsea to win. And I'm not taking anything from Chelsea. They're a very, very good team and very resilient team, and they know how to win, as I said. But it was always going to happen. And I'm a little bit surprised it hasn't happened sooner, to be honest.
I just go back to Courtney. Why do you think that she's still existed in this fear of trying to prove herself to people?
Well, you know, I just think as much as Everton are a good team, I think Courtney should be playing for Champions League. I think Courtney should be in Champions League. So she should be in the top three teams in WSL. And I think they should be hunting her down, and she should be inundated with offers. And she does get offers, don't get me wrong, but like, I just would love to see her in a world stage as in Champions League level, and I'm not sure Everton are going to get there.
Yeah, is that something that you reckon might be likely over the next couple of seasons for her personally?
It's definitely, it should be happening anyway, you know. Every year is more difficult for any footballers. They get a little bit 1 year older. It's always, you know, easier when you're 21, 22 to get recruited by these big teams. But at the end of the day, sometimes I think big teams overlook the importance of having a top keeper. And there is a difference with having a top keeper than a very, very good keeper. And I think if they actually invested in that and actually thought about that a little bit more, Courtney would be on the top of their list.
On your beloved Arsenal then, they're in third place at the moment, 8 points off Manchester City. They're on 22 points to Manchester City's 30. Chelsea, by the way, on 24 points. It does seem, according to reports, that there's been a bit of turbulence behind the scenes that we didn't quite appreciate for quite some time. There was this Athletic report, which I'm sure you've seen, that delved into long-standing tensions within the Arsenal dressing room. And there was reports that the dressing room had been splintered for many years, with tensions among players and a small group wielding significant influence. To churn out a Champions League title in that sort of scenario ain't the worst way to handle it, Emma.
No, it's not. And, you know, it's strange timing as well, you know, because they've just won the Champions League and they're playing some great football. And as far as I'm concerned, they're still the best footballing team in the league. And I'm not just saying that because I'm former Arsenal. I'm saying it because I work in the WSL, I commentate. And those, you know, Arsenal are the team that you do not want to come up against when they're in form. So, you know, there's turbulence everywhere. It's football. It's normal.
Yeah. Is there a chance that there's going to be any twists at all between now and the end of the season, or are Manchester City just simply too good?
Yeah, I think there will be more twists and turns because Manchester City have been in this position before. And, you know, I don't like saying it, but they're very heavy reliant on Bunny Shaw, and for her to stay fit is very important for them. So there's a lot of factors that they'd be leaning on. And we've seen Chelsea as well just breeze past them in recent years. And can't forget Arsenal are hitting form as well. So they still have to play each other, and that can change everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll keep an eye on that over the next little while as well when the Women's Super League returns. just final point, what is your Christmas schedule like? Is Lewis also in a situation where a break is coming your way and you've got a well-deserved rest, or are you ploughing on through to Christmas?
No, we are on a break right now. Sunday was our last game. I'm heading back to Dublin this weekend to see my family, and then I'm going back to Barcelona for Christmas.
Fantastic, fantastic. Where is Lolita going to spend Christmas?
Lolita is with us. We drive in the camper van back to Barcelona with the dog.
I was thinking the camper van. She must absolutely love the camper van.
She hates it. But she's getting in there. She's going in.
There's not much of an option. Listen, Emma, great to catch up with you, and enjoy the well-deserved rest over the Christmas. We'll chat to you again soon. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Cheers.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today.
18 plus gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.